All right, again, well, welcome to Vertical Church, Milwaukee. I promise you, normally it's warmer than it is right now. We walked in this morning, and we started setting up, and all of a sudden, the heat kicked on out there, but in here, the AC kicked on. I was like, what is going on? So I called the building guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. He's like, We have to switch over the heat to the AC through like a digital computer board or something like that. But they didn't get to it in the auditorium, and so the AC is going to kick on in there. I was like, what? So he told me how to shut off the AC, so the AC's not on anymore. But for about an hour, it was blowing cold air. So if you're freezing, just, you know, cuddle up to the person next to you. Like Scott and Terry, you guys can just, like, put your arm around one another. You can, like, share body heat and, or, you know, kind of move around a little bit. If you get up to go get hot coffee during the sermon, I will not judge you at all. So, but again, welcome to Vertical Church Milwaukee. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're just glad you chose to worship with us this morning. And that we want to be able to connect with you in a couple ways. The first way, on the outside aisles, is our connection folder. If you could fill that out, let us know that you were here. But then along with that, if you could just give us some ways that we could be praying specifically for you. You know, as a church, we want to be lifting each other up in prayer specifically, and we want to be praying for you specifically. And so when you fill that out, it goes into our church, or our church prayer team gets it, and we get to pray over that every week. And so if you could fill that out and let us know that you were here, and let us know how we could be praying for you specifically, but also rejoicing with you specifically. If you have things we've been praying for and God's been answering those prayers, put those in there too, because we want to celebrate as well with you. The second way we want to connect with you is right after service. If you're visiting with us this morning, I will be right out in the connection area. I would love to be able to give you a gift and just answer any questions that you might have, and just tell you a little bit more about our church. And then lastly, October 27th, we are doing our connection class right after the service. It'll be a lunch right out here where we sit down and just tell you a little bit more. It's about an hour and a half. We'll tell you a little bit more about who we are, kind of go through our doctrine and our philosophy. And it's kind of the next step of how to get plugged into our church. And so we'll be doing our October 27th right out here. And you'll be able to, there'll be a sign up on our website at verticalchurchmilwaukee.org. Or if you just come, we'll have food for you. But along with that, just two quick announcements. We have our life groups Wednesday night and Thursday night. If you are looking to be a part of what it means to be a part of a vertical church, or what it means to be a part of this church, it means being present on Sunday morning, and it means being a part of a life group. And you can find that information on our website. But then the other update that we have, I got an email Saturday morning. So yesterday morning, we are in the Wilson Senior Center. So a lot of people are like, what's the Senior Center? Well, it's a rec center for seniors. And when you come here, so I've come here on like a Thursday, like noon or whatever, there's like 300 old people who just take over this place. It's outstanding. I walked in and they were doing a, what do you call the little plastic flute thing? Recorder. They were having recorder classes in here. So there's like 70 and 80 year olds playing these recorders. It was outstanding. But we have we're growing our relationship with this organization. They do a lot of really cool stuff, and we're going to be trying to do their Christmas dinner, and we want to be able to connect with them. And so we're starting to build a relationship. But they're doing a organization-wide garage sale here Saturday morning. And so there, all the older people are coming in. They're going to do a garage sale, and they're raising money. But they asked, they sent out an email and asked if there's anybody who could help tear down from 2 to 4 p.m. next Saturday, that they're looking for people. And that might be a great way for our church to be able to come and bless the community center. So I'll be here around 2 o'clock. And if anybody else is available on Saturday afternoon and want to come, just bless the senior center and be able to get connected to some of these people, that's a great opportunity. Just let me know. You can shoot me a text or an email, and I'll get you a little bit more of the information. But it'll be a fun time just to be able to hang out and serve this place like we want to be doing. So I'm going to pray as you guys take the offering, and then we'll jump right back into our sermon. So God, again, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you that we can give of our tithes and our offerings. We thank you that you have given to us, in a way, and you've blessed us. And so, God, we pray that we would give back joyfully. And God, we pray that you would take just a little bit of faithfulness that we have, God, and you would multiply it. God, of our time, our money, Lord, our energy, God, the things that we use to serve you, God, we pray you take that little bit, Lord, and that you would multiply it for your kingdom. God, multiply it for your mission. And God, as we talk about mission this morning, God, I pray you just grow in us and work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can open up to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we started a few weeks ago, we started a series called Renewed Perspective. And so we are a church plant. That's what we're meeting in a senior center. Two weeks ago, we celebrated our 1 year anniversary. And so, yeah, it was fun. We had a photo booth out there, some good donuts. But on our 1 year anniversary, I wanted to start this series called Renewed Perspective. Because, you know, when you look around, just if even just take 5 minutes and you open up your, you know, your Twitter app, or you get a newspaper, or you turn on the news, or however you consume your news and updates and things like that, it doesn't take long for us to see, like, we're in trouble. And, you know, our world's not going in a great place. Our country's not going in a great place. There's, you know, it doesn't, 5 minutes into a news program and something's happening. And, you know, it's like, man, God, what is happening? You know, what is going on? How is this going to be changed, Lord? Well, he gives us that answer. He says, by you, by the church, by gospel-filled people doing gospel-filled things. And a lot of us need to have a renewed perspective. We need to understand that our life is more about getting up at 5 a.m. and going to a job and coming back at 4, or, you know, whatever your job or home life might be, and it's more than our hobbies. It is understanding that we are called to minister to those around us and be a church that is going after people and caring for people and discipling people, that are on mission. And we talked about 2 weeks ago that our mission starts with God's glory. We're going after God's presence. And because when we go after God's presence and we're filled with God's presence, then we bring that to other people. And that's the thing that changes anybody. You know, if you want to talk about change, it's when you come into the presence of God. And so we started there. And then last week we talked about prayer, that is God's power. If we're going to see things change, God is going to work through us in his power. And that comes from prayer. And this morning then, we're going to talk about God's mission for us, that we're called to make disciples. We need to have a renewed perspective. And that's why we're here. You know, a lot of times are sitting, you know, some people have dead-end jobs, and they sit there and day in and day out, and they're like, man, why am I here? Or some of us, you know, we've been doing the same thing for a long time, or, you know, even just in just normal everyday life, it's like, what is going on? Why am I around? And really, we're called to make disciples. But so often, we think that that's the job of a pastor or the job of a class. Oh, there's a really good discipleship. Terry, let me tell you about my discipleship class, man. Okay, you got to. No, we think about it as this, it's a class, or it's done by the discipleship pastor or an elder, or, you know, to make disciples, you have to have studied all these books like Jerry has, or no. You see, the mission of the church is to make disciples. And if you consider yourself a part of the church, if you consider yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, your call on life is to make disciples. That's exactly what Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 28. And in Matthew 28, most of us know this passage and have read it many times. I've preached on it before. I'll probably preach on it at least once every year, because this really is our mission. And Jesus is getting ready to hand off his ministry to his disciples. He spent 3 years with these guys, and he did all these miracles. And then he went to the cross and died and rose again. And they got to see all of this. And now he's getting ready to go back and be with the Father. And he is handing this off to his disciples, and these are the last things that he teaches them. And he's teaching them to make disciples. The mission of the church is to make disciples. Therefore, it's all of our mission. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So again, this is Jesus handing off his ministry, and he gives us kind of three things that really should be used to motivate us and push us to go make disciples. But then also a few things that he puts in there help us make disciples. And the first thing that we need to understand is that discipleship is really of utmost importance. Discipleship is really of utmost importance. But does that show up in our life? He starts out here in verse 18. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. He's not just, you know, talking about just a little bit of authority that you get as a dad, or maybe as a police officer, or a mayor, or even the president of the United States. You know, even I love the fact that the president of the United States, his authority is checked. Praise the Lord. For all seasons. But God's authority isn't. If you say, God has given me all authority. Why? Well, because Jesus, you know, there's the God the Father. He's a Trinitarian God. We see that there at the end. We have God the Father who put all things into play. He has built this plan, this system of redemption. And then Jesus was faithful then to come down to this earth and to do the work that God had called him to do and to take our place on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit's work is then to impart that to us and to be working in us. But you see, Jesus lowered himself, according to Philippians 2, that he lowered himself. Even though he was equal, he emptied himself, it says, to come under God, to fulfill the plan that God has done. And then after he completed that plan, it says that God gave him all authority. Nothing was held back from him. And so Jesus is saying, he's telling this to his disciples. Why? Because he wants to show where this is coming from. This is not just the authority of a government or a country or a school or a family. This is God's authority. Authority over all creation. Authority over all things. And so he starts with that. And he does it for two reasons. One, Jesus is pulling rank here. He's pulling rank. He's saying, listen up, there is and there should be no greater authority in your life. Now, we talked about what we should be spending our time and energy and money on. The thing that has the greatest authority in our life is going to get that. And Jesus said, listen, I have all authority. I have all authority. And I deserve it. And he does. Because God, you know, God created us, Adam and Eve. He created him, Adam and Eve, perfect and to live in a perfect relationship with God in the garden. And then when Adam and Eve took that fruit, I think it was a peach, not an apple, but we can discuss that later. But when God took that fruit, not God, when you know, Adam and Eve took that fruit and ate it and sinned against God, they spit in God's face. And from every day forward, every person has lived in separation from God and have separated and destroyed that relationship with God. And you know what? God had every right to, at that moment, to wipe us out completely. But he didn't. He didn't. Instead, he chose from that very moment in Genesis 3 to put into plan this plan of redemption. And the plan of redemption flows through his son, Jesus, who take our place and took our place on the cross and took all of our wrath. And so when Jesus says, listen, I have all authority over your life. I have authority to pull rank. He's not kidding. He has that right. But not only is Jesus pulling rank, but you see, he's about to hand over his ministry to the church, or the ministry of the church to his disciples. The very things that he was doing, he is getting ready to give over. And what he's telling them when he says, all authority has been given to me, he's saying that, listen, I'm pulling rank, but I'm also giving you this authority. But what gives me the right to speak into someone's life? Well, I don't. I mean, I'm a joker just like everybody else is. But man, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the guy who died and saved me. Let me tell you about the guy who's continually working in me. You see, he was telling the disciples where their authority is coming from to make disciples. Jesus is pulling rank with his authority, but then he's also handing that authority off for the disciples to use to minister and invest in other people. And he's saying, man, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And see, Jesus is going up as high as he possibly can. Why? Because he wants to show that discipleship is of utmost importance. There is no greater authority to pull rank or to empower. And both of these things are being used to make disciples. And when we look at our life, does it look like that? When we look at the amount of energy or time we spend on things, does it look like we believe we're called to make disciples? When we look at the things that we worry about, does it look like we believe we're called to make disciples? And a lot of times it doesn't. Because we don't. We don't place that authority over us. We let our jobs have more authority over us. We let our fears have more authority over us. We have our families have more authority over us. We let our hobbies have more authority over us. We, you know, it's all these things. And it's like, no. No, we were kind of joking. I don't know. Jerry, was it Friday night they were talking about moody parking? Was it Friday? Wednesday? We were talking about the moody parking. What night was that? Friday? I think it was Friday. So we were kind of joking about this. I went to Moody Bible Institute, Jerry did too, and I had a car at Moody, and I had a parking pass, so, you know, most of the time I'd park it in, like, the legit parking places that I was supposed to park it in, but it was, like, way on the other side. It was, like, up in this parking garage, and I'd have to, like, drive all the way up there, and it would take me forever to get in and out. So every now and then, I'd be coming back. I was on staff at a church, or I'd be doing things. I'd be driving back, and I'd have, like, a meeting or intramural sports or something like that, and I'd be, like, just getting ready to make it. And, you know, so I was like, I can't go park in this parking garage. And so I would go park in one of the other Moody parking lots that I wasn't supposed to be in. But you want to know why I did that? Because they would just hand out these dumb little yellow tickets that didn't really mean anything. Like, it was just because they couldn't really, Moody doesn't really have the authority to pull my car, to tow my car, and they can't really fine me. And they don't, like, these yellow tickets don't really have any authority whatsoever. So I'd go park it in the parking lot right there, and I'd come back, and there'd be three tickets on it. Yeah. But there was a public street parking right next to it that I would never park it in. Because if the Chicago police came and put a ticket on my car, you know what happened? I'd be paying bank. Why? Because I'd forget to pay it the first time, the second time, the third time. By the time I actually got around to paying, it'd be like $400. But why? Because they have the authority to do that. The Moody didn't really have the authority to do anything to my car, so it didn't really matter. But I never parked in that spot over there because they had the authority to fine me. You see, the things that we give the highest authority into our life is going to have the most importance in our life. That's what we need to understand when Jesus says, listen, all authority has been given to us. That's important. And we need to put that authority over our life so that we understand that discipleship is of the utmost importance. More important than anything else that we are doing in this life, any mission that we have, discipleship's the highest. Because life and death over all eternity hinges on it. And the amazing thing is God already has it worked out. And God's already got it figured out, but he uses us to be a part of that. He uses us to be a part of his eternal plan. That just blows my mind. And the second thing, or the first thing, discipleship is of utmost importance. Two, we are called to an active part in disciple making, or making disciples. We are called to an active part in making disciples. This doesn't just happen. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when it starts to get cold in my house, you know, my kids start to put on more clothes. And, you know, in the summer, like, they wear flip-flops and sandals all summer long, and they don't really, have socks. When it starts to get cold like this, I'm telling it, Jane. I'm telling it. I told Jane I was going to use this analogy, and she was asking me about it all morning long. And, they start to put their socks on, okay? And, like, we should all have wool socks on right now because it's freezing. I see all of you guys. I'm telling you, just, like, put your arm around the person next to you and, like, kind of cuddle up. We just need the kids to put socks on. But then all of a sudden, they get home from school or they get home from whatever else we're doing. And I don't know what happens, but, like, their feet just blow up. And all of a sudden, socks are just all over our house. Like, I'll open up the silverware drawer, and there's a dumb sock. How did a sock get in the silverware drawer? I don't know. And then they go put on another pair of socks because they get cold, and then 2 hours later, they're gone again. Like, socks just don't stay on my kids' feet, and it drives me crazy. And I walk all over my house, and there's all these little socks laying in every corner. I'm like, guys, you got to pick up your socks. Guys, you got to pick up your socks. Micah, pick up your socks. You want to know what happens? They pick up those socks, and the socks on their feet just end up in the same spot. And it's never really going to get taken care of unless Ashley and I go and actively do something about it. If one of us don't go and pick up the socks laying all over the house and put them in their dirty clothes and put them in their pairs, our kids would be sockless for the rest of their lives, which I've thought about allowing just to make it, man, it's 30 degrees outside, just go sockless. But I haven't done it. I've taken an active part in picking up these nice, warm socks. Here's the thing. Discipleship doesn't happen naturally. If we are going to make disciples, we have to take an active part in making disciples. Look at what he says. This is verse 18. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All of these things require movements. All of these things require us to be doing something. He opens this section up in verse 19 with kind of two side-by-side commands, showing that there's a little bit of a distinction there. He says, go make. And he does that, why? Because he first wants us to focus on the go. We have to actively move somewhere to make disciples. That word go, they're connected but separate. And, we can't be a passive people. Now, for people like me who are extroverted, it's a little bit easier. People like my wife, Ashley, who are introverted, this is a difficult thing. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry. I know it's hard. But God is saying, listen, we have to go. That means rearranging our life so that we can get up and go find people to make disciples. It's not just going to happen naturally. If somebody is being discipled, if somebody's growing in their faith because somebody else is investing in them, there's a reason for it. Someone's intentionally taken that effort and gone out. So he says, go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the next one. He says, make disciples. Now, a disciple, according to the Oxford Dictionary, which is pretty close to what the Greek was, but it's a follower or student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. Okay, we are teaching people to be followers of not us, but Jesus. We are called to teach people to be a follower of Jesus. But he says that word, make disciples. Now, I could go downstairs in my basement, for those of you who've been there, and I have a woodshed or a workshop that currently looks like a bomb blew off in it, probably worse than my kid's socks, because I haven't cleaned it in a while. And, there's a lot of project that Ashley has for me. And, I could go down there with, every good intention and look at the wood and look at the stain. And I hate sanding. Oh, I despise sanding. Look at that dumb sander. And think, man, I really want to build a shelf out of this. I want to build a shelf. And I could talk about it. And I can look at it, and I can hope for, I can even pray for that shelf to happen. Prayer's good, trust me, you should always be praying. But if I don't ever pick up the dumb saw, That shelf is never going to get built. If I don't ever pick up the sandpaper, it's never going to be smooth enough to stain. This is what we're called to make. That word make is to go and to build something, to put things together, to build up. Go make disciples. Jesus is telling us. That means to actively go and find somebody and then intentionally have a relationship with them so that you are making disciples. We've got this row of kids here. Hey, that's your job too. Every one of us are called to go and tell people about Jesus, to make the effort to help people follow along in the footsteps of Jesus. Go make disciples. And he ends this kind of section saying, of all nations, every tribe, tongue, and nation. You know, God, when he sent his church out, it wasn't just to stay in one little area. You know, the church is going to be a multi-generational, a multi-ethnic, every different tribe, like every nation, every tongue. It's amazing. And I love the fact that we are here in Milwaukee where we can go one block over and get to a different cultural context, and we can even be a part of reaching the nations right here. But here's the deal. That takes a conscious effort. You know, if it was up to me, I would just want to be around a bunch of other guys who just want to watch football and drink coffee all the time. Right, Micah? And to get outside of that, I have to make a conscious effort to do that. But Jesus knew that. That's why he's giving these commands. And he's saying, go make disciples of all nations. And you know, we have to, and we are called to be an active part of that. Have we put effort into making disciples? When you look at your life, can you say, I have actually put effort into going, into making disciples of all nations? Because that's what we're called to do. And if we're gonna see, like, you know, again, you watch on the news or you just read about, and our world's falling apart. You want to know what the answer is? It's Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus. And we need to be about, understanding social justice and the inequalities and understanding the things that we are called to do to represent Jesus in the best way. But in the end, the gospel of Jesus is the only thing that's going to change people. The truth found in God's word is the only thing that's going to change people. And if we're going to see that happen, it has to be a conscious effort for us to go out and say, I'm going to make disciples. I'm going to make disciples. And if we want to see this church grow in a healthy way, where people are coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, where marriages are growing, where families are healthy, where people are seeing their sin overcome, and the families and that we need together, and the community that we need, it's going to come because we're discipling one another. Because we're making a conscious effort to invest in one another and disciple, and to bring people into this community. But we have to make an effort. We are called to be an active part of making disciples. And if you're hoping that it just comes naturally by, you know, Google ad, it's not going to happen. We got to go do it. And lastly, okay, discipleship is of utmost importance. We're called to an active part in disciple making. But lastly, we're called to make a specific disciple. We are called to make a specific disciple. Now, again, you look around in our world, and it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you kind of like believe something, right? Like, you know, you can believe this, or you can believe this truth about Jesus, but you don't have to believe that truth about Jesus. You don't have to believe in Jesus at all. You can just kind of do what you want, and we're not really supposed to push people. It depends on what side you're on. But you're really not supposed to push people one way or the other. And, you know, hopefully if I live my life in a certain way, people might catch on. And, you know, we are supposed to live in a certain way, and we are supposed to set an example. And we are supposed to lovingly encourage people. But here's the thing. We are called to make a specific disciple. We are called to speak truth. We're not just aimlessly wandering. Look what he says halfway down in verse 19. He says, you know, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he gives us a few distinctions of things that we're discipling people towards. And the first thing he says, baptizing them. Okay, baptism is a public proclamation of Christ's work in us. When somebody is saved, when somebody finally believes that they are dead in their transgressions, that they are dead in their sin, and they are separated from God because of that sin, and there's nothing else that they can do, and then they submit themselves under Jesus, and Jesus' life takes a hold of them, the next progression after that is baptism. Publicly proclaiming the faith that they've put in Jesus. It's a public proclamation. And so it says that we are called to make disciples and baptize them. We are pushing people towards making a decision for Jesus. You know, every time that we have a relationship with somebody, whether they believe Jesus or not, but specifically if they don't believe Jesus, every time when we're in a relationship with people, at some point on a regular basis, there should come a time when they have to make a decision for Christ or not. Where they're continually either having to say yes or no. Why? Because of the everyday conversation that you have with them. Because you are continually telling them about how Christ is at work in your life. Because you're opening up the truth in front of them. That doesn't mean that you were, you know, if they deny Christ, it doesn't mean we leave that relationship. No, we continue to press in. But there should be regular moments where in their own, whether out loud or even just in the privacy of their own soul, they have to accept or reject Jesus. We're pushing people towards a decision for Jesus. That's what baptism is. It's a public proclamation. And we're not just living good. You know, we want to love people. We want to care for people. We don't want to be bulldogs and stuff, you know, God's word down people's throat. But we are pushing people in a direction. We are called to have people make a decision on a regular basis of whether or not they're going to follow Jesus. That's part of making disciples. That's the idea of baptizing. We want to get them to the place where they make a public proclamation. And in reality, it's God's work in them. And we're not really doing that. We're just being faithful and allowing God to use us. And God changes them. And they make a public proclamation. But that's the direction that we're going. Baptizing them. And then he says, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, that is the Trinitarian God. I love the fact that we were singing a song this morning about the Trinity. Why? Because we don't just follow God the Son or God the Holy Spirit or God. No, we follow a Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God who, again, put all things in play. And he's he has ordained all things. God the Son, who has done the work of the Father, and is now at the right hand, ready to rule over God's kingdom, and is ruling over God's kingdom. And then the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in us. He's our helper. He takes the Christ's righteousness and puts it on us. And so it's this whole Trinitarian God at work in the gospel, in us, in the church. And so we're making disciples. That's the God we're making disciples of. But he also puts it in there because he wants to be extremely specific. When you are, Jesus says, discipling somebody, it's not just any random God. It's the God of the Bible. This is the Trinitarian God that we see in and out of Scripture. And it's not like we can just take one aspect of God and try to disciple people in that. No, we are called to disciple people in the whole gamut of God's word. Showing to them every aspect of God. That when we disciple people, it is in the likeness of the God who gave us this book. And so, it's not just, you know, a lot of times we like to just take, you know, the God's love part. Or sometimes we like to just take the God's wrath part, the turn or burn type of God. Or some of us just like to take the social justice Jesus, which sits in there. But it's not only that. And then some of us just like to take just the gospel of Jesus, and we think that like the only part of Scripture is the first four books of the New Testament. There's a lot more. You see, we're supposed to disciple people in a full understanding of God. And so even in our normal conversations, we should be talking about the work of God. We are called to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? How do we get people to that place where they are being discipled? Well, he tells us, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Right here. This is what we use to make disciples. You know, what we're doing when we make disciples is we're not trying to make followers of Jesse or followers of Lance or followers of this guy or that guy or this girl or that. No, we're just putting God on full display. We're saying, hey, look it up. Listen up. Here's the God who changed me. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about him. And we do that by opening up Scripture. We do that. I mean, that's why he says that we are called to make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And that means we open up God's word with people. That means we regularly tell people about what God's word is doing to us. One of the best ways for you to open up Scripture to people who don't really believe in Scripture is talk to people about how Scripture is changing you. And we're just putting God on full display. Allowing people to see how God's laws and commands and promises have transformed us. He says that, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, God is empowering our life. When God sets us on this journey to make disciples, we're not doing it by ourselves. In fact, there's very little that we are doing. In fact, we're just saying, God, I want to be faithful. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to let you use me. And then we just display God. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to make a specific kind of disciple. And, you know, when we look at our life, we should be regularly taking assessment of, are we really doing this? Are we really using our life to make disciples? Because it's so easy to get caught up in so many things. You know, our job, you know, our sports team starts winning. Wisconsin yesterday, did you watch the game? Yes. Dumb sports teams. You know, our hobbies. And we, all of these things just start to consume us. Difficulties at home, difficulties at work. And we feel like our life is imploding. And you know what? We stop discipling a lot of times. Well, I can take a pass. You have no idea what's going on in my life. I know. No. I mean, we're still called. You know, some of the hardest moments of our life are the best times to disciple people, because God's on full display in your life. And if we're going to be a church that's making a difference, it's not going to be because we have a bunch of great programs. It's not going to be because there's this killer guy leading worship or this really hipster dude like preaching, because that's never going to happen. I'm past that stage. I have 5 children. No, it's going to be because we're discipling people. It's because we're passionate about what God has done in us, and we're going to do it to other people. And so here's a good assessment that you can use to kind of look at your life and just take some moments and, you know, am I doing this? Do I understand the authority that God has placed on us? And do I understand that I have to take an active role? And do I understand that there's a specific type of person? So 3 questions to ask every week. Am I praying for opportunities to be on mission and making disciples? Okay, when I'm talking about making disciples, I'm talking about it from the very beginning to the very ending. A lot of people like to say this is evangelism and this is disciple. No, it's all one thing. Okay, evangelism is a part of discipleship. them. If you are making disciples, you know, when Jesus started making disciples, they weren't saved yet. Peter wasn't saved yet. And he started teaching them the truth of God and revealing himself and showing himself. We start making disciples the moment that we come into relationship with people. What kind of disciple that is? Well, that's up to God. But we are called from the very beginning. And so this idea of evangelism is one thing and then discipleship, no, it's not. It's the same thing. Okay, we are called to see people saved, baptized, and then transformed in the image of Jesus. And so we are asking, are we praying for opportunities to be on mission to make disciples? Regularly. Has that been a part of your prayer life? Two, so this is the first thing, it's three things to ask. What did you do this week to put yourself or myself in a position to disciple somebody? Did you intentionally do something to put yourself in a position to make a disciple? And this could be formal, this could be informal, this could just be, you know, someone's hurting and it's been a long week and so you go out to dinner with them. Or this could be, you know, that somebody has a long path ahead of them. Maybe they have the same job type as you or the same roles that you do, or maybe it's something else, or you have some sort of other connection with them. But you say, hey, I want to start meeting with you on a regular basis, and it's a more formal thing. Whatever the case is, have you this week made an effort to disciple somebody? And then three, did you get an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone this week? Okay, that doesn't mean that it's always an explicit gospel proclamation where you know, open up and do the four spiritual laws. Sometimes that's just telling about how the gospel has affected your life to other people. What'd you do this week? Well, I went to church. Man, I was in a rough place. And this was difficult. And then I started worshiping Jesus and I remember the promises that he's given me. And I remember it's not hard to go into talking about the work of Jesus in our own life. Have I taken an opportunity to do that this week? That's making a disciple. So three questions to ask. But then look at life and there's three types of relationships in discipleship. Okay, so I got three, three, and two. Three questions to ask. Am I praying for opportunities? Did I put myself in a position to make a disciple? Did I get an opportunity to share the message of Jesus? Three types of relationships. When you look at your life, there should be someone on a regular basis. Do you have somebody actively discipling you? Have you asked somebody to intentionally invest in you? Somebody who's been down that road a little bit, or somebody you've had a relationship for a long time, or somebody who you respect. Do you have some sort of person where you can look back and see that? Two, do you have a relationship with someone who is an unbeliever that you're actively pursuing? Maybe it's from work. Maybe it is from a hobby of yours that you've been able to be connected over a sports league that you play in or a meetup or something like that. But are you know, a neighbor, even a family member who's unsaved? Do you have a relationship with somebody that's ongoing and active that they're not a believer? And then lastly, do you have somebody who's a follower of Jesus who you are helping take the next step in their faith? You know, where you are discipling them. And we should be actively looking at these things. Do I have someone discipling me? Am I investing in an unbeliever? And am I investing in a believer that I'm helping them take their next step? And if you are always looking for those relationships, man, watch out, God's gonna open up some doors. And you are gonna see your life be used. And lastly, when you do those things, then what do? Well, there's two things you need to do to make disciples. You need to open up God's word with them and open up your life to them. You need to open up God's word to them and you need to open up your life to them. When you get these three people, when you start to make these decisions to pray for opportunities to step out, then when you open up, you let people in. You let people know the real you, because when they do that, and when they get to know the real you, they see Jesus at work in you. And that doesn't mean every time that we have to open up God's word, that doesn't mean we always sit down across the table and slide them the Bible and say, hey, read Romans 8. But it does mean that we can tell people what the Bible says. It does mean that we can tell people what the Bible is doing to us. And if we're going to make disciples, that means on a regular basis, we're opening up God's word with people and we're opening up our life with people. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be an elder. You don't need to be theologically trained. You can be seven and be making disciples. And if we're going to see God move, if we're going to see God work, it's going to be because our church is doing this. It's going to be because the church just down the street is doing this. It's going to be because the church in Madison, in Rockford. It's going to be the church down in Chicago. You see, what God's going to do is God's going to start lighting a fire in his people. And God is going to change not this world by putting this person in power, this person. No, God's going to change it through his people. Making decisions to make disciples. I want to be used by you, Lord. I want to be on mission for you because this is what you have called me to do. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God does. Because you know what? We know the answer. God's already won. This is, God knows what's already happened. God's already put all things in place, and we are just being faithful, celebrating a victorious God. So God, we want to be used by you. Let me pray. God, we come before you this morning, and God, we thank you just for the opportunity to worship together, God, to be opening up your word together. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities this week to make disciples. And God, I pray that you would give us opportunities this week to be on mission for you. Lord, that we'd understand, God, just the authority that you have. And Lord, that discipleship is of utmost importance. And God, that we have to take an active role in it. And God, that we would be discipling people specifically towards you, Lord. And Lord, I pray just for even a lot of the, I know a lot of people already in this building are investing in others. And God, I pray that you would bring fruit to those relationships. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow us even to be able to come back next week and just talk about the things that you've done in us and the things that you've done through us while we've been discipling other people. And Lord, that we would be able just to see fruit. And God, I pray that we wouldn't be dismayed or taken aback by what's going on around us in our world today, but God, that we would be encouraged because we know that you already have it in place, and God, that we would be serving and discipling and investing in others in a victorious manner, God, because we know that you have already won, Lord. And God, we thank you that you've taken our place on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.